Title of the presentation is Establishment Strategies for Creeping Bentgrass Putting Greens.
Thank you. So renovation of putting greens is something that most, if not all, golf courses are going to have to go through at some point. This process can be very time consuming and expensive, not only due to raw material costs and labor costs, but also due to revenue lost because of closure. The purpose of this project is to identify some factors that may help to hasten the establishment process after construction. A couple of events have happened recently to highlight the importance of this kind of project. One of those are the harsh winters that we've received the past couple years, characterized by extreme cold temperatures and extended periods of ice cover that have decimated annual bluegrass populations. Courses experiencing this were forced to close throughout some or most or all of their playing season in order to either try to reestablish their POA or reseed to a creeping bentgrass. Another thing that's happened recently is the desire to use new cultivars of creeping bentgrass. These bentgrasses, in most cases, are more disease tolerant, more drought tolerant, can tolerate lower mowing heights, and also use less fertilizers and pesticides. Now, here is a list of some, certainly not all, of the factors that go into establishment, the things that people think about maybe when they're going to redo greens. Which of these factors are important? How much of each of these factors do we need? And for those of you familiar with Dr. Rogers' affinity for factorial studies, trying to design a study based on all these factors is concerning, to say the least. But luckily, we were able to narrow it down to four that we really wanted to focus on, those being mowing height, fertility, plant growth regulators, and cultural practices. More specifically, our fertilizer regime was applied at either 2.44, 4.88, or 7.31 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per week, initiated in the fall. The second factor for this study is a plant growth regulator, specifically Trinexipac ethyl, applied at either the labeled rate of 0.398 liters per hectare every 14 days, or not at all, initiated in the late spring. Third factor is our initial mowing height of cut, at 0.381 or 0.508 centimeters. That's 0.15 and 0.2 inches for those of you trying to convert fast. Those were reduced incrementally each week until they were both at the same height. This was implemented in the fall as well. And the fourth and final factor is vertical mowing, performed either biweekly or not at all, initiated in the late spring of each year. Some of the justification for why we did what we did. First off, I think there's two main ways to renovate greens. One is by killing the existing turf and starting from scratch. The second is by interseeding. For this project, we chose the former because interseeding has been shown to be not effective at converting whole greens to a new cultivar. There have been studies suggesting the amount of nitrogen fertilizer to use on putting greens. A study showed that Trinexipac ethyl can reduce the amount of nitrogen that is needed to be used in order to maintain adequate color and quality ratings. And there was also another study that showed that vertical mowing of an established, already established putting green did not have any effect on the color or quality. So the real objectives of this study are to determine the effects of various chemical applications and cultural practices on creeping bentgrass establishment. Here are establishment parameters. This study was done in two consecutive years, seeded in mid-August at 36.6 kilograms per hectare using pure distinction creeping bentgrass. It is important to note that we seeded into a 100% sand profile with no amendments or anything else. So the only potassium and phosphorus that these plants received are from these initial fertilizer treatments. After that, the plants survived solely on nitrogen and whatever residual was left. This was a randomized complete block design with split plot. Statistics were analyzed using SAS proglimics, and significant differences were found using Fisher's protectively significant difference at a p-value of 0.05. If you'll notice the numbers on the side of the picture up there, you'll see that those are our initial mowing height of cut factors. Those were done in strips lengthwise, and the other three factors were randomly assigned to each individual plot inside those. Here are the materials for our study. Most of these are pretty standard, except for maybe the true surface vertical mowing unit that's pictured there. And that was a single head vertical mowing unit attached to a Toro Flex 2100 in place of the normal reel mower. Here are data collection devices, and in the interest of time, I'm only going to show you data from the FieldScout CM1000 chlorophyll meter, which gives a relative chlorophyll content index based on from 0 to 100 based on ambient and reflected light. Here are the results for our study. Before I get into the actual numbers, I just want to give you an idea of what these plots look like throughout the growing season at increments that are approximately what you'll see in the data tables. So this is what these look like in the fall and then subsequent spring. I think you can start to see some more definition there. This is in the midsummer after all treatments had been initiated. And finally, on our last collection date here, I think you can really see that checkerboard kind of pattern that we got where it was pretty easy to pick out each of these individual treatments. Here's the ANOVA table. First, I want to go through the main effects. So as you can see, our mowing height of cut was never really significant from beginning to end, which was kind of concerning and disappointing for me initially, until I discussed it with Dr. Rogers and we came to the realization that I think cultural or normally we think that to establish a green you need to have a high height of cut, slowly reducing the height until you're down to where you want it to be, but this study shows that that's not necessary, that we can start it at a lower height of cut without any detrimental effects. Our fertilizer applications were always significant from when we started them until when they ended. We saw some significance with our plant growth regulator regime towards the end of each growing season, and our vertical mowing treatments were always significant from the time they were initiated until the last collection date. Here are some specifics about these, specifically the fertilizer and vertical mowing. So the fertilizer regime, working from top to bottom, high to low rates, we can see that with each increase in fertilizer rate, we had an increase in chlorophyll content in these plants. So what that's telling us is that this somewhat linear trend is maybe we haven't reached the height of where the nitrogen is helping these plants. For a vertical mowing regime, this was also always significant from when we started to when we ended. And we can see that the plots that did not receive vertical mowing had better quality ratings than the plant or than the plots that did receive vertical mowing treatments. Here's an example of what our fertilizer plots, fertilizer application plots look like. All other factors held constant, starting from the top left and working your way clockwise, you'll see our low rate, medium rate, and on the bottom, the high rate of fertilizer. Now, I've looked at these pictures 1,000 times, so I can definitely see the differences, but I think it's pretty clear, hopefully, that there are some pretty distinct differences between these plots. And this is our vertical mowing treatments. Again, all other factors held constant. On the top left, we have a plot that has been vertically mowed, and the bottom right, a plot that has not been vertically mowed. So for our plant growth regulator data, as I mentioned, we saw some significance. Well, we didn't see any significance at initiation or for quite a while after that. It wasn't until towards the end of the growing season, maybe the last 2-3 weeks, that we started to see some significant dates where the biweekly plant growth regulator applications had higher quality ratings than the plots that did not receive that application. And now I'll go over our interactions. It should be noted that any 2-, 3-, or 4-way interactions not shown here were not significant. So really the only interaction that we saw was between our fertilizer and vertical mowing regimes. So to set this chart up, we have the vertical mowing treatments indicated by the bars. The blue bars indicate plots that were vertically mowed biweekly. The red bars indicate plots that were not vertically mowed. And working left to right, we have low to high fertilizer rates. Now what this is showing is that with each increase in fertilizer rate, we had a bigger separation between plots that were and were not vertically mowed. So at the very low fertilizer rate, we weren't even really giving these plants enough nitrogen to see any differences. But as we increased our fertilizer rate and saw more benefits from that to these plants, the detriment of the vertical mowing was more apparent. So the conclusions we can draw from this are that the initial height of cut did not have an effect during this study, which in itself is pretty significant, and that the plant growth regulator regime had a significant effect towards the end of each growing season. Our fertilizer rate and vertical mowing treatments were the most consistently significant applications that we had, specifically 7.31 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per week is at the least acceptable amount that we need in order to grow these plants in as quickly as possible. And the biweekly vertical mowing regime was too aggressive and detrimental to have any benefit to plant health. Taking these into account, we designed another study that is currently ongoing using increased fertilizer rates and a less aggressive form of cultural practice, which in this case is brushing instead of vertical mowing. With that, I'd like to thank Dr. John Rogers, Dr. James Crum, Thomas Green, Jacob Bravo for their help and support, and the Michigan Turfgrass Foundation, the California Turfgrass and Landscape Foundation, True Surface, and Tea Green Corporation for their financial support.
Yes. Were there any environmental stressors in any of the years, and were there any differences between the 2 years of study?
Okay, so the question is, were there any environmental stresses or differences between the 2 years? And for that, I would say that the second year, which was this past year, we had quite a bit more rain than we did in the first year. That's really the only difference that I can say, and we still got similar results, you know, from year one to year two. Okay, thank you.
Questions? Ms. Singer, speak.